This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with my co-host, Elena Sweetser.
Welcome.
And we have a very special episode today because we have our first ever guest on the podcast.
That's right.
Matthew Turner, and can't thank him enough for coming on today to share his story. This was Elena's topic today.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see what we're going to get into. But we are very, very thankful to have Matt here with us today. And I think he's going to share some insight that is hopefully going to help help multiple people listening.
So. I think this episode is going to be really good because it's the perfect time of the year. When you think new year, you think new year, new me, right? And a lot of things happen. And one of the main things people do, especially coming off the holidays, starting the new year, is dry January. And my buddy Matt here, backstory, his wife is my best friend. He and my husband are best friends. We've been best friends for 6 years now. They're like family. Yeah. Crazy, right?
You're still keeping him around? My goodness gracious.
Keeping you around, man. But we're really close. And he has had such an inspiring story in the last year and a half. It's been a year and a half now.
18 months
being going sober. And I think this is a deep and big conversation that an open conversation a lot of people need and want to have. So thank you for your strength to be able to talk about this. I think you're going to touch a lot of people's lives. So that's pretty much what the topic today is, dry January, and kind of just talk about alcohol in general, right? Do you want to kind of give your story a little bit and background, and then we'll dive into some questions?
Yeah. What's up, airplane? I'm Matt. I grew up in Southwest Fort Worth in an average middle-class family. Normal childhood, nothing really traumatic. I think a lot of people hear, oh, you have an issue with addiction or alcohol or drugs, and they think, oh, what happened to you as a kid? Well, nothing that wasn't my own creating. I was in band, and I was really busy in high school and on the weekends. I didn't really party much. I didn't drink until I was actually 21. I think that's pretty shocking these days. So I really kind of started drinking when I was in college. And it was fine, normal partying, you know. I think, and then one day the partying just didn't stop. And I saw a lot of other people continue on with their lives and kind of grow up. For me, I wanted the party to keep on going all the time. It got to the point where I was drinking in the evenings every other day, then drinking in the evenings every day, excuse me, and then drinking in the mornings and at lunch and in the middle of the night and just nonstop drinking. I think this is probably a complete excuse, but I think when we all started COVID and everything locked down and shut down, that really exacerbated my drinking. I think what happened was I had a void inside me that I needed to fill, and I couldn't fill it with anything organic, really, with friendship or love or anything. And the only thing that really cured me or cured that feeling was to numb it, and numbing it with alcohol and marijuana, honestly.
Okay. Well, especially in the COVID, right? I mean, you have so much downtime. You're just trying to fill that empty space, and boredom sets in. And unless you have something to positively keep your mind, you know, active, I'm shocked you did as well as you did, you know, at the end of the day. Because, you know, for me, I've always been around Matt, and you've always been fun, go lucky. You never portrayed that there was any kind of issue. It was obviously something that you just over time recognize, hey, I've got a problem here and I need to address it. And, you know, maybe you can talk a little more about that, because I think, you know, mentally, we talk a lot about this on the podcast, is just how mind over matter, how you truly can control your mind if you push yourself to it, and how you basically, you create your own destiny, really, because you have full control of what you do. What was the trigger point for you? I mean, I know you talked about you're drinking all day, it set in. There had to have been a moment or a breaking point where you're like, you know what, enough's enough. I got to fix this about myself. What was that? Maybe you can shed a little light on that.
So, I don't think there was one solid breaking point. I think there are multiple different factors that that played a role into me saying, hey, I need to stop this. I did grow up with a clinical depression. Again, something I don't even know why. I think half the population doesn't even know why. But I've always been kind of an outgoing person, like you said. And I've always been a liar too. I've always keep things hidden. And I think that was, being an alcoholic is probably the best thing, or the easiest thing for me to keep hidden. Like, I don't even think my wife knew how extreme it was. I think a few of the breaking points were, I would wake up every morning and I would have coughing fits, and that would lead to me throwing up and getting so sick that I might use the restroom in my pants. You know, like, as a 30-year-old, that's just like, what the heck? I'm not a child. You know, like, who does that? That was kind of one of the first signs. And then having the shakes and the cold sweats and just being nauseous as all get out, until I put something in my body that was alcoholic or had alcohol in it. And I think it led me down a deep dark hole, to the point where I was so sad, I was so depressed, that I didn't want to live, but I didn't want to die either. Like, it's kind of a fine line for me. And I've said this, I honestly just didn't have the balls to do myself in. And I'm so thankful that I realized that. I remember the time when I kind of came clean about it. Well, let me back up a little bit. Another kind of breaking point is my hiding the liquor bottles in the house. I would have a handle of Crown hidden in my closet and my laundry basket. The laundry basket, of course, that didn't really get used, that had old shirts or whatever in it. And I would keep the handle of Crown that my wife knew I had in the kitchen, and then fill that one up with the one that was hidden in my closet. And
show her you were drinking less, or make it look like you weren't really.
Right.
You weren't, yeah.
Right. Not drinking as much.
Right.
Another breaking point was Uber eating alcohol from the liquor store. Mm-hmm. And I vividly remember this. I'd ordered one in the morning, or at like 11:30, and then I ordered another one, another handle, a Crown, at like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And my luck has it, it was the same guy that delivered both bottles. He's like, man, you went through that first one fast. Mm-hmm. And I don't even remember ordering the first one.
Yeah.
You know, like, uh-huh. It's just so, alcohol is so baffling.
And I have to say, how you were able to recognize that, uh-huh, and fix it takes such an amount of strength that I don't think people realize. Because, you know, and that's why I want to talk about, like, the dry January thing. Like, some people are, cool, I made it 30 days, and then they go right back. Or I think last year I did 45 days, and it wasn't a dry January thing for me. Yeah. It was more like a discipline reset for me.
Yeah.
But I think people, when you have the conversation about alcohol, you really want to know the deeper root problem of it, right? Why are we drinking? Why do we get stressed? We're like, oh, we need a drink. Celebrate. We need a drink. Like, everything's revolved around drinking.
Well, I think we're also social people, right? I mean, yeah. At the end of the day, we're around people all the time. We have social settings all the time. Mm-hmm. And it seems like it's become so of the norm. It's like, okay, well, if we're just all friends and we're all hanging out, or we're playing board games, or we're hanging out in the lake, or we're doing whatever, like, naturally, we need to have a cocktail with us, right? I mean, having a glass of iced tea is out of the question. Why don't we have a cocktail, right? And then, you know, some people, unfortunately, in Matt situation, you got to the point where you couldn't control it, right? Yeah. A lot of people can. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people are like, hey, I just enjoy having a cocktail. It's not really the feeling that I get from it. It's just like, I like the taste of it, or I enjoy having one because of that social setting type thing. And that's hard. It's hard.
Is it the alcohol the cocktail you need, or just the sipping aspect of something?
I don't, for me, it's neither. So, like, yeah. I mean, me personally, like, alcohol, like, I'll drink alcohol. I drink plenty of it. I like a nice glass of wine, and I like a nice bourbon. I enjoy the taste of it, the flavor of it, honestly. But it's something that I could easily give up. So, like, I remember when I gave it up for Lent one year, it was, I'm going to give it up for 40 days. So, similar to the dry January thing you mentioned earlier. And then it was, okay, let me see how far I can go. And I ended up going, like, 6 months without having one. I thought, I might go, man, I'm sleeping better. My body feels better.
Yeah.
I just, I have more energy. Mm-hmm. Like, you could tell by getting that poison out of you, but, you know, you end up going right back to it because I enjoy having one every now and then. Right. I think it's like anything. You just got to try to figure out a way to keep in moderation. Or if you know you're of an addictive personality and you know that it's going to go to the extreme, you got to cut it out completely. Yeah, I think it's just finding that thing, but I don't know. And I think a big part of it too is, as much as we try to say that we don't peer pressure our friends,
mm-hmm.
I think you feel that pressure, right? Cause you feel like, okay, everyone's having a cocktail. I guess I need, you know, I'm going to have one, or why aren't you drinking? Or yeah. And then you end up feeling like you're getting pressured into doing something that you don't really want to do. And I don't think friends do it intentionally.
Right.
I think it's just because everyone's having a good time with it and they want to continue that good time. And we're laughing and joking, and we've had a lot of great times.
Yeah.
Inebriated. Well, let's be honest, right? So
it's human nature. You don't want to get left out. Right? So naturally, you're going to do what everybody else is doing.
Right, but then also, you know, how do you fit into that situation, right? Like, I think that's probably part of heart. You know, Matt we obviously came to my Christmas party a few weeks ago,
July.
Yeah, and he's been around it, and he's surrounded by it, and to still be able to say, you know what, I'm going to come in, have a great time, enjoy myself, and let people do them. I'm going to do me. I think that to me is probably the mental hurdle that'd be harder for more people to get over. Mm-hmm. Because I think if they're away from people and they kind of go antisocial, it's easier to give up alcohol because some of the pressure gets taken off. I think really where the pressure comes in is when you see everybody else in your circle doing that. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but that maybe, I don't know if that's a challenge for you or what.
So to me, the social aspect did play a big game in my alcoholism. And it's kind of the norm in our society. Like, you drive down the highway, how many liquor stores do you see? How many billboards do you see advertising beer, liquor?
Yeah.
How many commercials do you see?
Bottomless mimosas everywhere you go.
Even like the Budweiser Bullfrogs.
Yeah.
Back the Super Bowl commercials.
They were a lot more fun commercials back in the day.
Yeah,
everyone's too sensitive. You can't have fun anymore.
I know.
But so there's that aspect. And then something caught my ear, and you said kind of, being standoffish, I don't want to be around that. For me as an alcoholic, being isolated and by myself, that puts me back in my mind.
Okay.
And my mind will tell me to go drink.
So it's better for you to be around people.
Yes, 100%.
Okay. That's awesome. Okay. That's great.
It's better for me to be around positive, healthy people like yourself that push me to do the best I can to, like, I'm going to bring it up. Be the Buffalo.
Yeah.
Be the Buffalo, guys. I love it.
That was definitely one of my favorite podcasts. And people that are going to respect me and not push me. Like you said, I think a lot of it is peer pressure, too.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, really the only person that can tell you that you're an alcoholic is yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. Yeah, you can go see a therapist. Your friends can tell you that, hey, you're an alcoholic, but I think until you mentally overcome that hurdle and accept that,
I think it's like that in anything in life, though. But I think it's anything in life, right? If you're a bad father or a bad mother, or you feel like I need more patience or I need more wisdom, or until you recognize I got to change myself, you know, your weight, whatever it is, you know, that's a big thing for me. It's okay, how do I mentally, you know, I've got this mental gear when it comes to my staff, my family, work, my faith, all those things. Where's the trigger point that I'm missing on that? When I'm like, okay, I don't like the way I look. I don't like how I look for my wife. I don't like the way I look for my kids. But why is it I can't get over that hurdle? And I'm struggling with that personally. It's like, okay, because everything else, I don't have a problem having that mental gear. But it's like you said, you have to recognize, even when you recognize, okay, I have a problem, the next step is, okay, what am I going to do about fixing the problem? Yes. And I think, and that's a challenge. That's a hard deal.
And that was a big thing. I remember, I used to go to the bar down the road from me for lunch and have a couple beers, a couple of shots, and go back to work. And
this podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
I don't know. We probably need to edit that out. just kidding. But I remember sitting there and thinking, man, yeah, dude, you have a problem. And I kept on thinking, all right, you'll take care of it when you get pregnant or when you have a kid come.
Yeah.
Well, that was not happening. And I was pissed off at the same things over and over again in life and just really wrapped up in a lot of self-pity.
I was going to say, I don't know if you remember this because 2020 I was pregnant. And that was such a huge blessing for me. And I remember specifically telling Cole that year, because you're forced to go sober, right, for 9 months. And I never had a problem where I needed alcohol. I had cocktails at night, whatever. But I could just stop if I want to. But I was forced to for 9 months, right? And I remember that was the most clearest I felt like my mind ever was. And I'm sure you experienced that in your 6 months. Same thing as you. I slept better. My mind was clearer. I was more driven, focused, all these things. And I just like, God, why did I allow myself to go back to drinking? Once again, I really only drink on the weekends at nighttime. But it's like, why do I need to? And that's why I love when you and Kinsey come over, because we drink Diet Coke and Waterloo's. Yeah.
I've been turned on to Bubbly's.
Oh yeah. Now. I like the cherry good. One.
Yeah. If you haven't had them.
But we do that. We just,
Topo Chico's.
Different non-alcoholic drinks. And it's like, we don't have to.
No.
Right?
That's been such a blessing. Like, I've never really been a coffee drinker.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, me either.
Since sobering up, there's a lot of different flavors and stuff out there that you don't have to doesn't have to have alcohol in it.
What has your health been like with your diet since you got alcohol out?
I did lose, I think, 20 pounds, and I was on track to lose a little bit more weight, and my health is drastically improved, and all the blood work's great. My sleeping is amazing.
Yeah. I don't know if you remember me telling you.
My skin looks greater or better.
Yeah.
Greater,
remember better. I told you, I'm like, you have this glow to you. You and Kinsey both. This glow to you guys.
Well, it could also be happiness too, right?
100%.
So it's, you know, it looks like, it's not your skin. It's the fact that you're happy in life, right? And, you know, I think that you guys, you know, because now I see, and again, I want all the listeners to know, Matt has always been a great guy to be around. You know, I never saw it as a problem. You know, I've been around Matt in multiple social settings, multiple drinking social settings, and he did a really good job of covering it up. And I think, you know, you touched point on it earlier when you said you were, you know, becoming a liar. And you end up becoming a version of yourself you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. And you know, okay, everyone loves this guy. You got all these great things going for you. You got the personality. You make people laugh. You're a good person. You have a good heart. But you just had this demon, you know, kind of over, you know, overseeing you. And now you look at where you're at today. And like you said, you know, people see this glow about you. It's not a glow about you. You're happy.
Yeah.
And you seem like your wife's happy. And you've got this they have a beautiful little girl. And, you know, what a change that's made for you. See, when you think about 100%. How many great things have come to you in your life, and we talk about this stuff all the time, it's getting rid of the toxic people. It's getting rid of the toxic things. It's getting rid of the things that don't make you be the best version of yourself. Mm-hmm. You got to be getting, you know, changing, you know, about changing the way you go about life, the way you look at things, how you look at your marriages, how you look at your relationships with your friends, mm-hmm. how you look at your relationships with your parents. It starts making you look at so many things differently when you start getting that poison out of your system.
What alcohol really is.
It's what it is.
Yeah.
The problem is we all enjoy that feeling.
Right.
We like the buzz feeling. Well, we like to have fun and
like
laugh.
The taste of bourbon.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I like the taste of bourbon.
Yeah,
so do I.
There might be some bourbons.
Can't have
there might be bourbons in here every now and then. You know, it's not always coffee, folks. It's not always coffee. It's like the Zoom call. Hey, good morning, everybody.
Yeah.
Well, let me get through another Zoom call with some bourbon. But I a lot of people did that, right? A lot of people were day drinking
and wine dinners. And let's talk about that, because you went to my uncle's wine dinner, Cat City Grill, and you stayed strong. You didn't drink.
I want to come back to that, actually, because you brought up the lying and stuff. And that was going on. And it got so hard to do because I had to remember what I was lying about, why I told.
Yep.
And when I decided to, I guess, I don't really know if I decided or something told me to just let it all out. And I remember that pretty vividly too. We were at the bar on a Friday night, my wife and I hanging out with our friends, and she called me out. She's like, "You seem a little bit more intoxicated than you normally are at this hour." And it was like 6 o'clock, you know, we'd barely been there. And I just said, "Cause I've been drinking all day." Mm-hmm. And she kind of looked at me and what? And just, we went outside and had a little chat, and I just let a lot of things off my chest. And that brought me such a big relief. And it was a cry for help for sure. Mm-hmm. And we got the help that I ended up going to a treatment center, for 45 days. Some people don't do that. Some people do, you know, just everybody's journey in recovery looks different. But having a life of honesty and openness now has been so rewarding.
Oh my gosh.
But okay, back to the wine dinner. I'm sorry, I'm jumping around.
No, I'm glad you brought that up.
I think we need to make a comment about his wife, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, having that support system, and to know that you can go to your wife and have that kind of real conversation with her, and the fact that she cannot abandon you, and she's like, "Okay, this is my husband. I've got his back 100%. I mean, think about what that says about her, right?
100%.
And what that says about you when you're going, "You know what? This girl loves me deeply. She has my back 100%. And sometimes when you go through these hard times, you don't realize that your spouse has got your back. Similar to my story when I got hurt a couple years ago and what my wife had to do to take care of me. I always knew that about her, but it went up exponentially after she took care of me through that process, right? Of going, "Okay, this woman truly has my back 1,000%. And when you realize what a gift that is, and you go, "Okay, I've got this gift of Mackenzie that has got my back 100%. You got to get that truth off of your chest, which is probably, that had to be a huge weight that was lifted as well, right? Because then now you're going, "Okay, I could be honest. I could be vulnerable to my wife. I can be sensitive in front of my wife." Okay, and then it's like, "Okay, how are we going to get through this together?" Right? She didn't run and hide. She's like, "Okay, what are we going to do to get through this together? This is a fixable problem, but we got to get through it together." And again, it's like we talk about all the time. life is hard. Yeah. Everything worth doing is going to be hard. Telling the truth is hard. Being honest with yourself is hard. Knowing that you've got weaknesses and trying to overcome those is hard. Everything about this, for everyone listening, everything that you do to be great in life, it's going to be hard. The reward by pushing yourself through it, that is the win.
Yes.
It is when you realize pushing yourself through it and what you gained from all of this hardship that you went through for multiple years, because obviously you've been struggling with it for years.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, for the last year and a half, you're like, this is the best and the happiest I've ever been in my life. What kind of reward is that?
Yeah.
How old are you now? If you don't mind,
35.
So yeah. You're 35 years old, mid 30s, and you've recognized I'm the happiest I ever been. And think about how much more years you have in front of you, bro.
Oh yeah,
that's when it gets
way later on.
And you're right. My wife has been by my side through probably the hardest challenge besides having a child I've ever faced.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. That does speak wonders of the love that we have for each other, and it's indescribable, honestly. Like, I can't say much more about it that to put into words. Like,
yeah,
she is my rock.
I remember, obviously, you know, she and I are best of friends. I remember her talking to me and being sad, and I always would tell her, I'm like, I have so much admiration for you because you have so much strength, you know, and it's, you don't realize when you're married to someone who's having struggles, whether it's alcohol or other things, like, they're your struggles too, right? And it's like, I'm not okay if you're not okay, or that's how I view my marriage with Cole. If you're not okay, I'm not okay. I feel your pain too, right? And so it's all about kind of like what we're talking about last week's episode, Matthew McConaughey saying, you might be running, your spouse is walking, but never let that gap get too far.
No, because you're in it together, right? Yeah. And at the end of the day, doesn't mean you have to be on the same page on everything, but you agree that we're going to help each other get to the next chapter.
Yeah.
One way or the other, right? And you keep moving forward. You keep pushing forward. You don't quit. You don't give up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, we've made it easy for people to quit, and we've made it easy for people to just walk away and, you know, never see their true potential and stuff because they don't want to push hard enough. But it makes it going through easier, you know. And again, it's like, you know, it may not be alcohol, right?
Yeah.
It could be lying to your spouse, or you're covering up, or you hate your career, or you hate your job, but you don't want to share it. So you keep all this stuff bottled up, and then it creates resentment, and then you're taking it out on your spouse, and then they're like, I don't understand what's wrong. And when you realize, man, it's just so much easier just to be truthful, to be honest, to share things. And you want that from, I want that from my wife.
Yeah.
Hey, if I'm not doing something right, or if you're not happy in a certain situation, let's talk about it immediately. Don't let it bottle up to where it's like, now we can't fix the problem.
Yeah.
And, you know, I admire you, man, for this. You know, it's, I'm glad to hear your story.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm glad that we're talking about it. I'm glad you're willing to talk about it. And I know that there's people listening. And then again, it may not be alcohol.
Yeah.
They may be just struggling with their own inner demon, whatever that may be, and say, you know what, if this guy can push through this and his wife can help him through this, maybe that's something that I need to change about myself, right? It can be, like I said, multiple things.
I guess I got a few questions for you that might help someone maybe in your similar shoes.
Okay.
So you recognize the problem and you hit your breaking point where you were like, enough's enough. What were your next steps? Like, what did you do to fix the problem?
Okay, so I had that conversation with Mackenzie, and I stated that I needed to get some help. Mm-hmm. This journey has actually probably been a 10-year or more journey for me. I went to treatment back in 2014 as well, and so I've always known that I've had an issue with drinking. In that time, I stayed sober for, I don't know, 4 months, if that. I thought I learned how to control it, you know. I wish I could say it wasn't an issue and didn't impact my life. However, it really did. Now that I look back on it, and after this journey of the last 18 months, it has definitely been a big issue for me. So I think my first action was admitting that I had an issue. Like, I need help. And I've got to say that to myself every day, that, hey, I'm an alcoholic. But guess what? I'm not drinking. I'm sober. Mm-hmm. I have peace. I'm happy.
It's the power of one more. I think it's Milet said that.
What changes did you make, obviously, other than not drinking, in your life to help you continue on this path that you're going? Is it, now I know you guys go to church every Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it books you're reading, inspirational things you're seeing? Obviously, what's helping you continue on that path?
So a lot of it is a program that I'm working. Mm-hmm. And then finding my faith again.
Yeah.
I grew up in church, and
he was at church right before this.
I know.
Yeah. I grew up in church, and at some point in time, I just kind of put God in the back seat and didn't look back and didn't check on him. You know,
He's always there. That's the funny part, isn't it? He's always there.
Always there. And getting the mental state of more clarity in my mental state allowed me to find him again. So a lot of prayer, a lot of meditation, going to church.
A lot of self-love.
What else do I do? Hanging with good, healthy, positive people.
I'll say, obviously, you don't go to the same places that you used to go before, so your atmosphere has changed completely.
They say changing people and places, and a lot of the people that I did used to hang out with, they're still friends, but
yeah.
I just don't see them because I don't go to the places that I saw them.
Well, and they're still in that journey, that chapter of their life, right? We talk about it all the time. It doesn't mean they're bad people or good people. It just means, hey, you know, we're at different points in our life. I want different things out of my life right now. There's things that are more important than in my life. Then, you know, and sometimes you got to cut those relationships out, or sometimes you have to limit those relationships dramatically, because it may take someone 10 more years before they wake up one day and realize, you know what? Man, I just you know, pissed away 10 years of my life where I could have been doing so much better, but the bars and the drinking and the social setting of it took precedence over everything in my life, and that's okay. It's not everyone's going to be on the same timetable as you, right? You just happen to recognize it earlier on.
Well, and I would say most people's biggest fear is they're going to lose people if they give up alcohol. They're going to lose their friends, but what did you lose, really?
Well, the other thing too is if they end up walking out of your life, what kind of friends were they to you anyway?
Because when you came and told us, we were like, "How can we support you?"
Yeah,
and that's what you want to hear.
Right.
That's what you want to hear.
We love you. We want you better. How can we support you?
Uh-huh.
I want to rewind a little bit. Some people are content with staying in the bar setting, you know, and staying with the life that they're living. And that's fine, you know. Yeah. Like, I'm not gonna judge them.
Yeah.
Yep.
I was not content with myself and the direction that my life was going, because I was killed. The amount of alcohol I was putting in my body was definitely killing me. Mm-hmm. And it was honestly a boring ass life too. You know, doing the same thing over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, what'd you ask?
No, that was it. I mean, what have you done differently, really, that keeps you on this path? Because I'm sure there's sometimes, you know, they I guess they call them triggers. People have these triggers, right? So how do you suppress those?
Turn to God, honestly.
So faith has been the main thing for you.
Faith is, my spirituality has definitely played a huge factor in my sobriety. I don't think I could stay sober if I didn't find that. And in the program I'm working, it doesn't have to be God. It's got to be a higher power, you know. It's got to be something that
it's a why. It's what's driving you.
It's got to be something greater than you.
Yep.
It can't be you.
Yep. Yep.
It can be the people you're around. It can be a stick in the yard, you know, but it's got to be something that has more power than you do, because what you were doing or what I was doing wasn't working.
Right.
And I wasn't able to get sober and stay sober.
Yep.
Now, I have a big question for you. How long did it take until you were able to be in a setting around people who were drinking around you? And then how did that make you feel when you were around that? Did you feel like you were missing out?
A little bit, yeah. So, and when I first, so like I said, I was in treatment for 45 days. I think the week after I had left treatment, I remember Kenzie and I going to a Ranger game. It was dollar hot dog day. I ate a lot of hot dogs.
Got my money's worth.
And then after it, I was like, hey, do you want to stop at Danny's?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, I don't know. That's not a good idea. I'm like, no, I'm good. I'm good. In reality, that was probably very dangerous mm-hmm. for me to be in that setting again. Mm-hmm. And being around some of the people that I used to hang out with.
Yeah, you've done so good. You've been off it for months, man. What's one beer going to do, man?
Yeah.
It's like, right? It's like, dude, what's you do? You've gone 6 months without having a drink. You know one beer. What's one beer going to do to you? Just have one beer. And all of a sudden, you get sucked right back into it. So, right. You know, it's easy.
One beer is too many, and two is not enough.
Yeah.
Because once I start, I can't stop.
Yeah.
I'm going to drink until I pass out.
Yeah. But like I said, now you're around people. And now what's crazy is the flip side of it, right? The first time was extremely hard. You felt like you were missing out. Now you're encouraged. You're like, I want to be around people that are doing it, because now it's telling me how strong my mind is. It's telling me that I know I can overcome this. It's not a big deal anymore. My friends have embraced me for Matt, the man, not Matt, the drinker, right? I can care less if you ever had a drink again, right? It's like, I enjoy hanging out with you just because of the person you are, not because you have a cocktail in your hand, right? So I think now that you've recognized that and you're like, I don't want to get back to that self-pity or being alone, you know, alone in my home, or I'm going to be tempted to go do something out of boredom. That's the other thing too, is how many times we do something because we're bored, right?
I've got to definitely stay active. In one of the hobbies that I've decided to pick up recently is the guitar. I bought a guitar. Right.
Wow, good for you.
My fingers hurt, but that's all right.
But you're doing something hard. Isn't it so much more rewarding?
Like, gonna be so nice with the baby.
Yeah. Playing music for her. She loves it.
Yeah.
I play the one or two chords I know. And
I was listening to someone earlier, and it made me think about our podcast that Elena and I started this year. Was he said, do one hard thing a year.
Yeah.
He's like, think about it. Start a podcast.
Yeah.
Learn a new language. Learn a musical instrument. He goes, if you make a goal one a year, that I want to do something that, he goes, think about when you look back at your life. And he goes, I think they said if you had one or two additional skills, pretty sure I think I saw this recently, I have to look it up, one or two additional skills that you taught yourself, you would be ahead of like 98% mm-hmm. of the world's population.
Right.
By teaching yourself, like, think about like how many people actually know how to play the guitar. Look that stuff up. I guarantee it's a very, very small percentage. But whatever it was, I gotta start. Elena gets mad at me because I listen to these podcasts. I get all fired up, and I never take notes on what I heard. Right? So I follow people that I've butchered your quotes, your comments. You know who you're probably thinking of. It's definitely not Elena. It's me butchering it. But you guys are getting the idea behind it. And I was like, you know, it made me think about every year, and this year was the podcast for us. It was like, hey, we're going to put ourselves out there, do something that's tough, something that's challenging, something that's going to add additional work to our plate. And I'm thankful that I did that.
Stressed out, let's do a podcast.
Why not? Let's add a little more.
Besides the guitar, is this year is a child.
That's true.
Yes.
I've got a almost 5 month old baby, and she is, it's such a reward to wake up and see that smiling face.
She's so cute, and she's starting to look like you.
Oh, thank you.
She's starting to look like Matt. She knows. I tell her all the time. She tells me Kian looks like her daddy all the time.
Oh, he does.
So this is payback.
Yeah.
We do all the work just for our kids to come out looking like you guys.
I don't know, man. I don't think we put some work in. I think the guys put some work in. I don't think we get enough credit, man. There were some chromosomes we kicked in.
Chromosomes.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. Everyone talks about the women do all this work. I'm pretty sure I pampered my wife for 9 months. There was tons of foot rubs and back rubs and getting you meals.
Pulled in some Taco Bell.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to say something that you said to me about your baby girl. And why a part of your inspiration is staying sober. And you said something like, I want her to see me for who I am.
Yeah.
You told me that once, and that like gave me chills. And I love that for you. And I love that for her and Mackenzie as the mom to see that.
Yes. And if I stay on the path that I am by doing the work I am, and part of that is why I'm on this podcast too, is to help give inspiration to others, you know, to that this is doable.
It is.
If you're struggling with any kind of alcohol addiction,
depression,
anything, just reach out. You can get help. Mm-hmm. I've got to give back what was so freely given to me in order to stay sober.
but you have to admit you need help first.
Yes.
That's the biggest step, right?
And if I keep doing that, my little girl never has to see me drunk.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Never.
Oh, and she's going to see the best version of her dad.
Right.
And it's imagine her life, what you're doing for her and her future and who she's going to become because of that. That's amazing.
Yeah. So I would tell the people that are listening, you know, take a deep dive in your own life right now. Think about where you're struggling. Think about where you could be better. Think about where you know deep down you're not doing the best you possibly can. And figure out what is the step one, right? There's got to be that first step that you take that every day I'm going to try to do something a little bit better to fix that problem. And I think what most people do is they feel like it's never going to be fixed. So it's an easy excuse for yourself. It's a cop-out, mm-hmm. Right? Like, oh, I'm never going to lose weight no matter what I try. Well, how hard did you really try?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I was good for 2 weeks and then I had, you know, 3 cheat meals and I had a couple Starbucks along the way. Well, did you really give 100% effort at it? You probably didn't in most scenarios, right? So I think that that's, you know, you recognizing what you had to do, you know, a year and a half going on 2 years ago now, recognizing and go, okay, what am I going to do? The first step was tell someone about it.
Yeah.
Lean on my wife for help. She's supposed to be my rock. And then the next step is, okay, what's the next step for us to do? And exactly. It's like anything else. What's the next step?
And you keep moving
forward. Yeah.
Like really it's, if you think about it, it's, you have to find your tribe, your people who accept you for who you were, for who you are now. Yeah. You're welcome.
Appreciate
you're
here that, for man. Life. Thank you.
Who you were, who you are now, and where you're going.
Yep.
And if those people don't line up for all three of those things, then they're not going to help you continue move forward for your goal, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That's how I view it.
Yeah.
So thank you, Matt, for being on here today.
Yeah.
I think the people that challenge you to be the best version of yourself mm-hmm. are the people that you need to be around.
They do it out of love.
100%.
I agree.
And if they didn't love you, they want to say shit to you.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the second time I've done that.
It's okay. I think he's liking the handgun thing. So I always tell people I just hope they're listening on Spotify or they're not actually watching us. Most people still watch us on YouTube. My mother-in-law still watches us on YouTube. So
I love that. That's why we do it.
I know. I which is great. Spotify. But again, Matt, to come on here, share your story, again, says a lot about your character. It says a lot about you wanting to pay it forward to the next person. And
I know you're going to inspire.
You absolutely are. And it may not even might be the alcohol thing. You inspire someone today. I guarantee someone's listening and saying, you know what? I need to be doing, I got to do a hard thing. I've got a demon that I got to face and I've got to rip it like a bandaid and get rid of this.
Right.
And what am I going to do to get rid of it and make that why bigger? So, thank you again for coming on. Appreciate the support of this. You know, being the first guest is I'm sure it,
thank you all for letting me come and share a little bit of my experience and strength and hope. You know, this has been so heartwarming. Even though I feel like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
You know, because I've never really done this before, but I love it. I love it, and thank you all so much.
As your best friend, I love you, man. I'm so proud of you. And you know, I've got emotional with Kinsey. Like, I'm just so happy for you guys. I really am. And our little families that we're raising together. So thank you, man. And if you guys thought of anybody during this episode, share this episode with them. Or if you thought of anything, additional questions, help us get this out because you know he's going to touch the lives of many people with the story.
And if you got comments directly for Matt, hit us up.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he'd love to hear them. We will share it with him if people are reaching out. And that has been our Mind and Lettuce favorite thing is when we get comments through Facebook or Messenger or text messages and like, man, this one really hit home. This one really resonated. This is why we're doing it. Because I know that there's going to be a trigger point on something that we talk about. And I think this community is to make people better.
Right.
And I think if we put our energy into making people better, like Matt said earlier, and all of us take that seriously, how much better this world's going to be.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, stay tuned. Brian is up next for the topic next week. So let's see what he's got him.
She better be ready.
Bring it.
Bye. Take care, guys.